This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Lots of cookie jars.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Private investors are sticking their hands in almost every industry. Just this week, we told you Chrysler will be the first big car maker sold to private equity. Private investment deals have grown 600% in the last 5 years. 5 million Americans now work for companies owned by private equity. Well, today, Congress hears from a big labor group that's worried about this trend. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
The traditional rap against private investment firms is that they buy a company and sell its parts to maximize returns. At a press conference yesterday, Chrysler CEO Thomas Lasorda was asked if that was Cerberus Capital's plan.
Absolutely not going to happen. We heard that from the CEO of Cerberus.
But even before the Chrysler deal, the Service Employees International Union began a campaign to persuade venture capitalists to honor union rights and protect health care benefits. The SEIU's Stephen Lerner is hoping private investors will do so voluntarily.
We're saying they're getting incredibly wealthy and they have a responsibility to help create opportunity for more workers to help grow the middle class in this country.
Without a commitment from new private owners to share their profits with workers, the Service Employees Union will petition Congress to open private companies to more public scrutiny. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, the blue chips are humming along, but the broader market's losing a bit of ground. The Dow's index of 30 stocks gained another 37 points to a record close of 13,383, but the S&P 500 fell 2 points to 1501. The Nasdaq dropped 21 to 2525. Asian stocks were on the plus side today, but just barely. The European markets are slightly lower in early trading. British Prime Minister Tony Blair comes to Washington today. It's his last visit to the White House before he leaves office next month. Our man in London, Stephen Beer, joins us. Stephen, for Bush and Blair, I guess this is so long farewell.
This is the swan song. This is the final White House tete-a-tete, the end of a relationship that undoubtedly has severely undermined Tony Blair's support back home, where he's been widely derided as President Bush's poodle. Not entirely fair description, since they have had disagreements, particularly on economic issues.
Yeah, what are the major disagreements between the two?
Well, oddly enough, for a left-of-center politician like Tony Blair and a right-wing Republican like President Bush, it's been over the issue of free trade. Blair has long regarded Bush, in some of his policies, as anti-free trade. Blair was concerned about Bush raising subsidies for U.S. farmers and also imposing tariffs on foreign steel. But undoubtedly, their biggest disagreement has been over global warming. Tony Blair simply does not agree with Bush that signing up to targets to cut greenhouse gas emissions is economically damaging.
Are we actually expecting anything substantive to come out of this final meeting between the two?
No, although Tony Blair, it is said, is going to use this to shift President Bush to change his mind over cutting greenhouse gas emissions. The feeling on this side of the Atlantic is that unless President Bush does actually accept the idea that the U.S. should sign up to some sort of targets for greenhouse gas emissions, next month's G8 summit in Germany will be a failure.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Computer maker Dell is getting hit with a lawsuit. The Wall Street Journal says New York's attorney general filed it yesterday. It accuses Dell of deceiving customers to boost sales, specifically misleading people about financing and sidestepping warranties and technical support. Dell says most of its customers are happy and it'll fight the suit.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
President Bush has chosen a war czar. Lieutenant General Douglas Lute will oversee the fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, Lute might also have to be a drug czar. One of his jobs will be to crack down on the opium trade. The U.S. has tried to get rid of the source of the drug, but that hasn't worked. Commentator Reza Aslan says it's time for a new approach.
Poppy cultivation has become such an entrenched part of Afghanistan's economy that in large parts of the country, opium is considered legal tender. It has replaced cash in day-to-day transactions. Poppy seeds cost little to buy, can grow in the driest environments, and offer a huge return on investments. Afghan farmers have neither the means nor the incentive to plant alternative crops. No wonder the eradication policy pursued by the Afghan government and the United States has been such a miserable failure. All this policy has managed to do is push opium prices higher by temporarily reducing poppy cultivation. One think tank, the Senlis Council, has come up with a better solution. They want the Afghan government to regulate and license poppy cultivation for the international pharmaceutical market. They believe that Afghanistan could become one of the leading producers of painkillers like codeine and morphine. This is not a new idea. Turkey and India have international poppy licensing agreements. Both countries transformed their illegal narcotics problem into a flourishing business, exporting raw opium. The government in Kabul has shown interest in the idea of licensing poppy cultivation, knowing it could make hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Yet so far, the Bush administration has balked at the proposal. They say it would only encourage the country's illicit drug trade. But this is more than just a drug enforcement problem. It is a national security issue for both Afghanistan and the U.S. Afghanistan's illegal opium production actively funds the Taliban, which is using the money to regroup for a spring offensive. Licensing and regulating poppy cultivation could serve as a major step in winning the war on terror.
Reza Aslan's book is called No God But God. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.